Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, October the 2nd, 2025. 10 to 25, 13 and a half minutes past the hour here. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio. And this morning we have got a great guest, Jason David. Jason, who will be performing at the Marion Christian Center, 1550 Richland Road, 9:30 p.m. after the football games on Friday night. And then at Genesis Church on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. That's 921 Woodrow Avenue. Jason is a vocal artist who has performed on NBC, the CW, and CBN, as well as the 700 Club. Doctors said he would never speak or sing again. 2 years later, he wrote and sang These Walls. 6 million views later, These Walls became a viral hit, translated into over 25 languages, and sung in churches all around the world. And before this hour is up, Jason will sing live for us here this morning in the studio, and we look forward to that. We are so glad to have at these microphones this morning, Jason David. Jason, so glad to have you here, hour number two.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Jason, want to talk about, we've talked about the cancer diagnosis,
yeah.
But you had two different bouts. Take us through that, the first time and what you went through, and then it came back.
Yeah, so the first time was, hey, we're going to remove 20% of your tongue, and so they did that, and then 2 months later, cancer came back, and then it was like, hey, we're going to remove 60% of your tongue, and 8 weeks of chemotherapy, 35 rounds of radiation, and so that, and that's when things kind of went real south. But yeah, what's funny is, as I always tell people, I always open up the show with this, is like, I've kind of become known as the cancer guy, right? Not my favorite name. When I was five, my mom asked me, like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you know what I didn't say? Cancer guy. Because we tend to, you know, identify and label people based on their tragedy, based on something that made them a victim. We usually kind of label people based on the worst day of their life. And if you define people by their tragedy, they will begin to believe that tragedy defines them. And we're so much more than the worst day of our life or the worst decision we've ever made. And so I'm more than a cancer guy. And so to prove it, I always like to say, like, hey, I've been bitten by a seagull. No one talks about that. They're being called the seagull guy. Man, I've been sprayed by a skunk. I've been chased by a beaver, ambushed by a possum, tackled by a Rottweiler, stung by a jellyfish, kicked in the stomach by a sheep. And true story, my wife and I were surrounded by three sharks off the coast of California. And yet somehow, still known as the cancer guy. Can't seem to shake that one. But yeah, I ended up losing 80% of my tongue to stage 4 cancer. They said I'd never speak again. And now here I am speaking with you.
When that happens,
yeah.
And you obviously have a good voice, you're going in, and you come out, and you hear your voice for the first time.
Oof, yeah.
Oh, what's
cried.
That moment? Yeah.
I cried. So when I was younger, I used to rap. And my doctor said, hey, I want you to take your old CDs and listen to them and try to rap along. It was a great way to do speech therapy. So I'm listening to my 16-year-old, 17-year-old self. And here I am at 29, and I can't keep up with myself. I can't rap as fast as I used to. I can't. I'm listening to a younger version of me, and I can't keep up with him. Man, I broke down crying. That's when it felt like, oh, my best is behind me. But it wasn't, and I've just learned, like, we have a new album coming out, and I've learned, like, how to sing and rap differently so that you just pivot. You find ways, like, all right, so I've got this lisp. It does prevent me from doing certain styles, but if I do this or do that, I can still, I'm not going to let cancer rob me of anything more. So, But I do have a fun story about my tongue. So, like when they removed my tongue, people often ask, like, hey, how are you able to speak at all if you have no tongue? It's like, well, I do kind of have a tongue. They built a new tongue using a chunk of skin from my arm, which is crazy. But the funny thing is, I love to talk about this, is, so, you know, some people say they speak with their foot in their mouth, but I am literally speaking with my arm in my mouth, mm-hmm. although my wife will say I speak with both my foot and my arm in my mouth. Mm-hmm. But you know how your arm grows hair? So, my tongue was growing hair for a while, and it was luscious, man. It grew like it was in a hot, moist swamp. It was tickling the roof of my mouth. Felt like a kitty cat coughing up hairballs. But the good news is, you know, when I went to that radiation, 8 weeks of chemotherapy, 35 rounds of radiation, they shot lasers through my face and killed all the hair cells on my tongue. So now my tongue is the equivalent of a middle-aged man having an identity crisis because my tongue has grown bald. And just bought a motorcycle. So I try to find some humor through it all and combine some stand-up comedy into our shows because it is a heavy subject. But there is a lot of humor in it. There's just natural humor in what we're doing, what we're going through. So,
how long did it take you to get that humor back?
Oh, it did take a while. I will say there was I was not a funny guy for quite a bit. I think when I began to realize I was allowing cancer to rob me of my voice, of my sense of humor, of my joy. Like when you lose your joy, you lose your strength. Like I was allowing it to rob me of so much, and then that made me angry. Of like, no, I'm not gonna let cancer win. And cancer got a lot. It won a few battles. It will not win the war. I'm not gonna kill myself because then cancer wins. I'm not gonna stop singing because then cancer wins. I'm not gonna lose my sense of humor because then cancer wins. And so I think slowly I've tried to reclaim everything that cancer took from me.
You know, a lot of people when they get up in the morning, they say, oh, another day, I don't want to get out of bed, it's cold, how do I face this day, I got to go to work. You know, you have faced a lot of challenges that were certainly more than that. What advice do you give those people who don't want to get up and face the day?
Yeah, actually, I mean, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but that's a perfect segue into the song I wanted to sing this morning. It's called Checklist. It's a song we kind of do towards the end of our show. But it's based on this. When I was in the hospital, and then, you know, I decided I'm not going to give up, right? And so I decided I'm going to make myself a checklist. 10 things that I'm going to get done, and that will help me, you know, just get moving, get going, have a goal. My friend, guess how many of those things I got done?
How many?
Zero.
Man,
I did not have the energy to get anything done. And at first, I wanted to beat myself up about that, right? Like, come on. You're getting nothing done. You're accomplishing nothing. And something I learned later on, looking back, I realized, no, actually, I did get something done. I got one thing done. I didn't give up. And that was the only thing I needed to get done. And so later on, I wrote this song, Checklist.
Checklist. And remember, I think it's very important, again, to point out, the guest is Jason David, and doctors said he would never speak or sing again because of tongue cancer, which took 80% of his tongue. And you know what? Here this morning, he's singing live on this program, and that is pretty important and amazing. So here we go, Jason David.
I have a checklist of to-do lists of things that I wish I'd accomplished. Yeah. But I only checked one box. Oh. 9 or 10 things, maybe 11, that I was hoping I'd finish before 7. But I only checked off one. Don't forget the dishes, don't forget to mow the lawn. Don't forget to take the garbage out when you get home. And don't give up. And that's the only thing I got done that day. And even the next day all over again. Cause sometimes it takes all that you have just to wake up again, survive that day. Believe me, that's enough, I know it's okay. Skip the other things, I promise they can wait. Promise me you will not skip this day. Wake up again, wake up and then don't give up. If it's at the bottom in a hand-drawn box, hard to make out, just like my scribbled thoughts. It didn't say much, but I got it done. Yeah, don't give up. Three simple words, one little task, but it took all my energy and everything I had. But I'm still here, so I must have got it done. Oh, don't get laundry, separate the dark from light. Don't forget to fix the walls, cause it's too dark tonight. And one more thing, don't give up. And that's the only thing that I got done last day. And even the next day all over again. Cause sometimes it takes all that you have just to wake up again and survive that day. Believe me, that's enough, I know it's okay. Skip the other things, I promise they can wait. Promise me you will not skip this day. Wake up again, wake up and then forget the dishes, forget tomorrow's alone. Forget to take garbage out when you get home. Just don't give up.
Very, very nice, Jason David here on WGH Talk. Checklist and don't give up, kind of the mantra here, I would say, this morning. And don't forget, Jason will be at the Marian Christian Center, 1550 Richland Road, 9:30 p.m. tomorrow night, Friday night after the football game, Genesis Church, Sunday, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., 921 Woodrow Avenue. Well, they said you would never speak or sing again, and you're certainly speaking and singing here this morning, Jason. So what's it like when you perform now?
Yeah, it's exciting. I'll combine, you know, elements of, like I said, theatrics, pyrotechnics. So, like with that song, we'll have dry ice. My wife will be on the violin. I'll play on the baby grand piano. And we'll have these visual effects that project the lyrics and stuff. Some of the other songs will have, you know, smoke and pyro and confetti launchers, and we just make it a big celebration, a celebration of life, a celebration of not giving up, and we make it very much interactive. There's one fun element we do where the audience will actually throw out random words for me to sing about, and I'll do an improv song, and every show is different. You never know what will happen. My stage name, my speaking name is Jason David, but all the music, like Checklist that you just heard, is actually under my artist name, music name. I am Untitled, because I'm not the cancer guy. I am Untitled. I don't allow anything to label me. And so, if you want to check out Checklist, it's under the music name I am Untitled. I hope that song, hopefully the whole album, can be a blessing. And we do that song at the show, along with several more songs that I hope will be very moving. And then there's one that is called Sounds Like Sid, and it's just a comedy song. It is hilarious, but it's the idea that Yeah, I now sound like Sid the Sloth from Ice Age. You remember the cartoon Ice Age?
I do, I do.
Do you want to hear my Sid the Sloth impression?
Go ahead.
All right. They left without me. They do this every year. Why? Does anybody love me? And anyone cares about Sid the Sloth? So there you go. I get asked so many times if I'm the actual voice of Sid from the movie. And so I decided to write a song about it. It's a hilarious song, but then in the end, it's very moving as it becomes a song dedicated to anyone with a disability. And we have a great time. I mean, that's the one we go nuts with the pyrotechnics. But I play a guitar, and we just have fun, man. It's a fun show, but it will also, you know, it will move you.
You know, the whole story is moving, and I think the audience would say that this morning. But under all of this, under all that you've been through and the adversity you still face, is there still sadness, hardship under that?
So I still am embarrassed of my voice. And I've had so many people be like, well, you shouldn't be. And I'm like, well, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that. Thank you. But I am. Like, I'm a full-grown man with a lisp. And I can't rap as fast as I used to. I can't rap the way I used to. I can't speak or sing the way I used to. And there will always be a disappointment in that. I'm very grateful. You know, God has been able to open up doors and I've been able to, you know, use this weakness. It's become a strength. But I still, you know, and sometimes people look at my life now and they're like, man, look at all that you're accomplishing now. If you never got cancer, you could never do this. I bet you wouldn't change a thing. I'm like, what? Yes, I would. I would change two things. One, I'd be born 6'6" and black and play for the Chicago Bulls. And two, I would skip cancer. You know, like, it's okay to not be okay with what happened to you. Like, we don't have to pretend here. Like, yeah, I would definitely skip cancer if I could. But at the same time, I see who I've become now. And I see the doors that have opened. And I see that by not giving up, yeah, I'm able to do what I do now. And so the lesson there isn't, let's pretend you were happy we got cancer. The lesson is, no matter what you go through, if you don't give up and you stay positive and you speak life, like, life can get better, and sometimes life can be unexpected, become a greater adventure than you've ever lived.
How do you stay positive? Sounds easy.
Yeah. Sense of humor helps. I mean, you know how long it's before I ever did that tongue joke about my tongue growing hair? I was so embarrassed of that I never told anyone that for a long time. But just slowly and slowly, it just became like, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, I don't know. It's just reclaiming my sense of humor. And I think it's just living in the reality of it. For a long time, I wouldn't change my voicemail because it was the only proof I had of the voice I used to have, you know. But that's me living in a fantasy world, pretending like cancer didn't happen. And the truth is, you have to accept your reality. If you don't accept it, life will pass you by. And you really only have two options. You get bitter or get better. And I chose, you know what, I'm going to get better. At first, yeah, I got bitter, but that doesn't accomplish anything. So I basically am determined. Cancer scored a lot of points on me, but I'm determined to outscore it. So here I go.
Are you ever fearful of it coming back?
Not anymore. That was definitely a fear for a while, but like, I can't control it. Anxiety comes, a lot of anxiety comes from us trying to control what we can't control. So why spend my life worried about something I have no control over? Now, not to say, like, yeah, I eat healthy, right? Like, I ain't eating, like, McDonald's every day. Not saying McDonald's gives you cancer because I don't want to get you sued, but I don't think it helps. So I'm eating, you know, my wife is just amazing. She's, like, making me eat all this, like, you know, healthy stuff. So obviously, yeah, I control what I can control. I cut out sugar as much as I can. I cut out caffeine. I cut out a lot of things that just don't help. But in the end, like, I'm going to live. I'm just going to live. If you live in fear, you're not living. I'm just going to live. You know, whatever happens, happens. But, you know, right now, I'm enjoying my life.
Through this whole thing, this whole journey, what was the worst moment and what was the best?
The worst moment was that night that I talked about in the last hour about wanting to give up. The best moment, I think I'm living in it, and I think my best moment is still 10 years away, 20 years away, 30 years away. You know, I believe life can get better when we redefine what success really looks like. But I think the best moment really is I get to travel America with my wife now on tour. Like I said, we've been on the road for 21 months, 600 days. We're back in Ohio. This is our fifth time touring Ohio since 2021. We love coming to Ohio. We have a huge fan base here. And all throughout Ohio, yeah, getting to live on the road. We sold our house. We sold everything. I'm no longer from California, thank God. We live in a little RV, classy RV, and we just live the RV life. And it's not easy, but I do love it. It's an adventure.
What are your goals now? What do you want to accomplish?
Right now, we have a new album that tonight at midnight, we have a new single coming out called Blessed. I love this song. I think it'll just make you feel good. Very happy song. But every 2 weeks, I'm releasing a new song, new single, new music video from here until January. And then in January, we released a new album. It's called No Turning Back. The artist name, like I said, is I Am Untitled. And then we'll launch a new tour called the No Turning Back Tour. So I'm very excited about that. All of our tour dates, by the way, my social media, all of my music, if you want to find it, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, all of that. We made it real simple. If you just go to jasondavidpodcast.com, jasondavidpodcast.com, you can find everything. All the tour dates, social media, music, everything. Or if you want to book us at all or have us come to your city or your church or your event, we do hospitals, schools, we do everything. jasondavidmusic.com.
What is the lesson that can be learned from your life?
Don't give up. Like, it sounds simple, but that's actually hard to live sometimes. Yeah, I hate that saying. They say, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I'm like, no, sometimes what doesn't kill you makes you want to kill yourself. Like, sometimes it does make you weaker, and you want to give up. And if I had given up, I would have missed out the best part. The best part of my story is still to come, but this is definitely, I'm living a better part now than I did before cancer. But at the time, I didn't think that was true. I literally thought my best days were behind me. And someone needs to hear this. I don't care how old you are. Your best days don't have to be behind you. I know that life has robbed you of a lot. And maybe you have a disability. Or maybe, you know, you can't move the way you used to move. But like, that doesn't mean your best days are behind you. Your best days can still be in front of you. We just have to redefine what success really looks like and what happiness really is. And I really believe, yeah, my best days are now. And 4 years from now, interview me again, and I'll say, hey, I'm living my best days.
How do you know your best days are ahead of you?
Because I just choose to believe it. Because I choose to be aware of my surroundings and look for the positive and look for the good. And I'm just determined. I'm just saying it. You know, my parents, like I said, we didn't grow up with money. So it was very rare that we went on vacation. But when we did, I remember the first time we went to Disneyland. And that was a big deal for us. And the thing is, Disneyland was only like an hour from our house. But we couldn't afford to go. But my parents saved up. And we said, we're going to Disneyland. But I remember we had a family meeting. And they said, now listen, this is expensive. So we're going to have a good day. Because, you know, kids, by 3 p.m., kids are crying, and it's no longer the happiest place on earth. But, like, my parents said, no, we spent too much money. So when we go to Disneyland today, we're going to have the best day of our life. We were determined. And can I tell you something? I don't know why. It worked, man. That was a great memory. That was the best day of my life. But I was determined going into it. You know what? If we have a long line, we'll find something fun to talk about. Find something to do. If one ride is closed, we'll just go to the next one. If it rains, guess what? That means there's less people in the park. No matter what bad thing you throw at me, I will find a good thing about it. Because I am determined. I spent too much money. I worked too hard to get here. I am determined that I will have a good day. And I've taken that into my life now. I am determined. I will have a great life. And 10 years from now, it will be even better.
Do you have a philosophy that you live by?
Don't give up.
Well, it's a good philosophy.
The best is yet to come. That was a good question. I don't know if I've stopped to really think about it, but that's the first thing that comes out of my head.
If you had to finish this sentence, how would you do it? Jason David is...
untitled. I'm not a cancer guy. I am not disabled. I am not poor. I am not a victim. I am untitled. None of the labels of this world adequately can describe who I am. You cannot describe me with one word, and therefore the best word to describe me is I am untitled.
You know, Jason, what's interesting, I had not met you prior to till this morning, and we've been sitting here about 90 minutes now, and, you know, most people who would go through cancer twice would lose 80% of their tongue, speech affected. You've said you don't like that.
Yeah.
You wish it wasn't the way it was. Even though you are performing, you're living a good life. People would say, why aren't you angry? Why aren't you angry?
I was. I don't want to sugarcoat it. I did not handle... I had a song called These Walls. It went viral. One of the first songs I ever sang, I got back on stage. I sang These Walls, a song I wrote. It goes viral. I get 6 million views. Ends up on NBC and Fox and broadcast around the world. And all of a sudden, people put me on this pedestal of like, wow, look at that man of faith. He's determined to keep singing, even though cancer tried to take his tongue. I was not ready to go viral. I was not ready to be famous. Like, I was still trying not to kill myself. I was still trying to survive. So I want to be very clear. Like, I struggled. I was angry. I was angry what cancer did to me. I was angry with how my life had gone. When they first told me I had cancer, I was like, no, that's not me. That's not my story. It can't be how my life ends or how it goes. So, no, I'll be the first to admit I struggled with anger. I was very angry. And then I realized I don't like living that way. It's not helpful. Living in this bitterness and this anger and allowing cancer to rob me of my joy and rob me of my sense of humor and rob me of love and life. No, cancer can't keep winning. And maybe that I grew up doing sports, so maybe that analogy just helped me. But it was like, no, cancer already won the first half. I will not let it win the second half. This is my comeback.
And so far, so good. How many years has it been?
2020, sorry, I think, is when it was remission or whatever it's called, where it was like, hey, you don't have to come back anymore. And then COVID happened. But no, it's been 5 years of not having to deal with it. And I'm very happy, and I still have, you know, it's hard. There's still medical issues I have. There's still things that happen. But like I said, I'm just determined to find the positive. Whatever negative happens, I will find a way around it or find a way to see a positive side to it because, I don't know, life is too short to live angry.
What do doctors say at this point? What's the diagnosis?
Oh, I don't know. When they said I didn't have to come back, I never came back. I try not to be near a hospital if I don't have to.
Now, is that... why is that?
It was traumatic.
Traumatic.
The things that happened to me in that hospital, it was very traumatic. Definitely had PTSD. I know I had that. But I went to therapy and got a lot of help for that. But, yeah, it was very, very traumatic. So I do hospital events. Usually they happen to be at a hotel, so that's nice. I'll speak to cancer survivors and stuff. But if I don't have to go to a hospital, I will actively avoid. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I still carry stuff with me, but that doesn't mean I can't have joy.
What is the best time? Is it being with your wife? Is it performing? What's the best time for you?
I want to make it every time. I'm having a great time right now. I love when I'm on my moped. I took my moped here this morning. It was like 45 degrees, so it was a little cold. But I love just being on my moped. We live in an RV, so it's hard to get around town sometimes, so the moped helps me do that. So as soon as I leave this interview, I'm having a great time now, and then I'll hop on my moped, and my greatest time will be that moment. I'm on my moped just driving through. Then I'm going to head to Panera and start doing some video editing. Thank you, Panera, for your free Wi-Fi. And I'm going to have a great time doing that video editing. I don't know. I'm going to make every moment my best moment.
At what moment did that happen? At what moment did you go from suicidal to this?
Ooh, lots of therapy, lots of tears. So that's a good question. I don't know when it finally clicked, and I don't think maybe it probably was a process where it was like, ooh, there's a little bit of good, and now I'm back to, you know what I mean? It was probably a process, and I don't know at what point it finally clicked where I'm like, no longer had the dark thoughts. It definitely wasn't just like, here today, gone tonight, you know, it was a process of healing, but it's an important process to walk through.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about suicide because it's constantly on the rise.
Yeah.
And I interviewed somebody probably been 5 or 6 years ago, and I was shocked. It was an expert on suicide, and they said that in the United States at that time, I don't know if it still holds, but I think it does, that suicide was on the rise in every single state except Nevada, and in Nevada it was just staying where it was. It wasn't going down anywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, so how do you get to the point? Because most people think that that's the unthinkable.
Right.
How do I get to the point where I'm going to think about ending my life?
Well, I hope you don't, but what it is when you give into hopelessness, the belief, when you truly believe that you are stuck and that life will not get better, that's when you feel hopeless. And then, sure, at that moment, it's like, well, if it's all downhill from here, then I would like to be off the ride. But that's a lie. Like, to believe that you are stuck, you are never stuck. You are not stuck. Tomorrow can be different than today. Your best days can still be in front of you. You have to believe that. You have to be determined to believe that. Because if you don't, you will allow your brain to go to a very dark place. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you believe I'm going to have a bad day, guess what? You are going to have a bad day. But if you believe you're going to have a good day, you're going to have a good day. Now, bad things can still happen in that day, but you can still be like, I'm at the end of this day, I'm determined to win this day. We often create our own luck, if you will. You know, it's just if you constantly live in negativity and you constantly speak negativity, don't be surprised that your life is very negative. And I got tired of that. So I decided, you know what? No, I'm determined to have a great life. I'm determined to have a great time. And it works, man. Like, just make that switch of like, no, I'm life has taken too much from me. I'm not letting it take any more. If it's already taken my legs from me, it's already taken my wife from me, it's already taken my children from me, whatever it's taken from you, don't let it also take your joy and your peace and your hope and your gentle spirit and your kindness. Don't let it take anything more. Fight to keep what little you still have and enjoy it and live with it, because now you're surrendering more than you need to. The enemy came, he took some stuff from you, and then you decided to give him more? You're just surrendering stuff? Keep fighting. Keep living. Your best days can still be in front of you.
How close did it come with you? You talked about Googling it.
Yep.
That one. How close did it come to the end?
I told my wife which bridge I was going to jump off of. I planned it, and I told her. So it came that close. And then 3 years later, I took a jet ski, and I drove under that bridge. And I drove back and forth, just saying, I beat you. I beat you, bridge. You're never going to have me.
What stopped you from going down there?
I don't know. I told her I was planning. This is what I remember. It was, I said, I think I have cancer again. And if I do, I'm jumping off that bridge. And then of course later it came back that no, you're still good. Keep coming back every 2 months, but you're okay. You don't have cancer. I wish I had a better answer for you. I wish it was like, no, I woke up and I realized I don't want to. No, it was just, if I get cancer again, I'm jumping off of that bridge. But at the same time, I still hadn't gone to therapy. I still had PTSD. I had a lot of mental issues I was struggling with. I think now, if whatever was to happen, I'm in a much better place mentally and my health, where I would not resort to that. Yeah, because it's like, I don't know. Now I'm robbing my wife. I'm not going to do that to her.
You know, I talk about this a lot on the show, that we always wait for a retirement party or a death to tell people how we really feel about them. And it's interesting, because if you don't live by that, and you do just on a Thursday tell somebody how great you think they are, how fantastic you think they are, all the talents you think they have, they kind of take that in an odd way, because it doesn't happen. It's so much easier to say, if you say something negative to somebody, they might not like it, but they don't think it's odd.
Right.
If you say something nice to somebody out of the blue, and you are profusely nice, like you would be at a retirement party or a funeral, they think it's odd. What are you doing? Why would you say this? So what's the deal? Why?
I actually, there's a song in the show we do called Please No Flowers. We have another version of it called Speak Love to Me. And it's about that exact thing. Is when my friends found out I had cancer, all of a sudden my Facebook page blew up, my phone blew up. But on Facebook, man, people were writing like, man, Jason was a good friend. Jason was a good singer. Jason's music really helped me. Jason was. And I felt like I was at my own funeral, reading my own eulogies. And I remember seeing some of the names that wrote stuff. And there was people who I hadn't spoken to in years. I didn't know they still thought about me. I didn't know they liked me. I didn't even know they liked my music. I remember thinking, man, I wish I'd known you felt this way about me when I was 17 and had anxiety. That would have been really awesome. And it got me thinking, why do we wait until people are dead or dying to say these nice things to them? Like, news alert, I am not going to be at my funeral. Like, let's say I'm in heaven, right? I'm not going to be like, hey guys, quick time out from this amazing heaven experience I'm having. I want to go down to where everyone's wearing black, and it's probably raining, and everyone's crying and saying all the things they never had the guts to tell me while I was alive. That's going to make me feel great. No, man, if we really believe in heaven, dude, I am not going to take the time to go to my own funeral. And as grim as it sounds, I honestly believe all these words that we say at people's funerals, they don't hear them. So what's the point? We're saying it to make ourselves feel better. But the truth is, if you really want to help someone, don't wait. Speak love to them now, when you can actually help them, because those words can bring life. Those words can help them on a hard day. They will not help. Your words mean nothing when they're dead.
You know what's interesting? People I've talked to who unfortunately do wait till somebody leaves to post on their timeline or whatever. You know, I'm not going to be checking my timeline when I'm dead.
Yeah.
It's always interesting, because they believe, somebody will always walk in and say, they knew how you felt. I don't know if that's true. I think human beings are programmed in a weird way.
Yeah.
We don't, as you say, you didn't even know these people still thought about you.
Yeah.
And if you'd known it in the time, you would have had a completely different experience. I don't think people know. I think you think they know,
right,
but I don't
right.
think they know.
No, you guys, if you have something nice to say about someone, if you respect them, if they made an impact in your life, why wait? Like, what are you waiting for? Like, tell them now, or just never say it, because you saying it at their funeral, all it does is give you points. It's very selfish, because they can't hear it. It just makes you look good, but, like, does nothing for them. Say it to them now.
Well, maybe that's something somebody can take away from this interview today who's hearing it, is find the people in your life that matter who you don't tell this to, and tell them.
Yeah.
You know, what's it going to hurt? Well, they're going to think you're odd. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, big deal if they think you're odd.
And we have a song about that on our album, so it's a beautiful lyric video with a music video, so I hope people can go check it out. Once again, jasondavidpodcast.com. We'll have the links to my YouTube page and everything, my tour dates, music, and hopefully you can find that song as well as the others, and it can bless you.
What is your biggest fear?
I mean, it used to be that cancer would come back, and I decided I'm not going to live with that fear. My biggest fear? I don't know. I don't like snakes. I'm not a big fan of snakes. At the risk of sounding pretentious, like, I don't even process my life that way. I don't live with fear because I just don't think it's a healthy way to live. So I don't have a biggest fear, I don't think. Yeah.
You know, I think people ask themselves this question all the time. If when you do depart 90 yeah. years from now, it is nothing, and there is no mm-hmm. beyond. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, I believe there's a heaven and all that, but, like, I'm also okay if it's just peace. If it's just nothing. And just go to sleep forever? That sounds nice, too. I have no fear of that. Like, I'm going to make the most of every day count now. I have no fear of the afterlife. I believe I'll see Jesus. I believe I'll be with, in heaven and be with loved ones. But even if that was not the case, that doesn't change the fact that I'm going to live every day now, live it to the most, live it to the max.
Most people would say the reason that suicide is so unbelievable to people is because I think still the number one or number two fear in the United States is death.
Right.
So it's hard to believe that somebody would want to speed up the death process, but death is scary to people, and they don't like the idea that nothing is there, or that when somebody else dies, they're not going to see them again.
Yeah, the weird thing, though, is, like, I'll give you a quick example, is I lived in San Diego for most of my life. I lived right next to the beach, next to the ocean, and yet my friends and cousins from Arizona went to the ocean and saw the ocean and experienced it and jumped in the water more than I ever did. If we, like, I don't know, if there's no death, you wouldn't get the most out of life right now. So I'm not afraid of death because it, honestly, it does give life meaning. Take the most out of it while you can. You know, like, say the words you need to say to people now. Speak love to them. Speak life. Live the adventure. Have joy. Have courage. Live it now. Death doesn't take away from that. Death means, hey, go, like, if someone told me, hey, you got 2 weeks until it's in San Diego and you're out, dude, I'm going to the beach every day. I'm going to enjoy it. But the fact that I could just go to the beach anytime I wanted means I never did. Death gives you a reason to go to the beach. So, like, go to the beach, enjoy your life, have some fun, and speak love and speak life to other people.
For people who have seen you perform, for people who have heard your comedy, for people who have seen you speak or preach, what is something they don't know about you?
I love, well, they probably know that. I was going to say, I love movies. They probably know that. You can probably tell. What do they not know about me? I love mint ice cream. I don't know. I'm pretty vulnerable and transparent. I have a podcast. I have in my music, in my shows. I'm very much an open book. So I feel like there's a lot that people do know. I mean, I've been very, very open about my struggle when I struggle with suicidal thoughts and anxiety and PTSD. So I'm not sure that I really left anything for them not to know. But I used to be a big Disney fan. I think Disney ruined their brand. But I grew up as a huge Disney fan. But I think my fans know that too. I don't know what I haven't told people. I've been pretty open.
Is yours a happy story?
Say again?
Is yours a happy story?
Is mine a happy story?
Is it a happy story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a story like any great story. There's loss and there's tragedy. But in the end, it's a happy ending. So yeah, my story hasn't always been happy, but it is a happy story because I choose that it is.
Is life a happy story? A lot of people see life very difficult.
life is extremely difficult, but we have to redefine what happiness is. What is success? What is happy? You can go to a third world country and you'll find people happier than Americans. So, like, happiness is not the money we have, the things we own. Happiness is the relationships we form and how we treat those relationships. And, I don't know. Yeah, I think you can live a happy life if you define happiness correctly.
Any regrets?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I now that I know what I'm doing, I kind of wish I had started sooner. But, I mean, it's not everyone. Like, it takes you a long time to figure out who you are. And once you finally know who you are, you're like, man, I wish I'd known who I was sooner. And not allow my peers to try to define me. But you know what? It happens, you know? But I'm not going to live with regrets. I'm going to make the most of every day right now.
If you could look back and talk to Jason, who was in that bed,
yeah,
who didn't want to live, whose wife was singing to him, in that moment, what would you tell him now?
The best is yet to come. Your best days are still in front of you.
Because at that point, you did not believe that at all.
No, yeah.
Totally out the window.
So I couldn't even ever imagine a picture. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't tell myself what's going to happen. I would just say, hang on. It always gets better.
I want you to think about this for a second. I'm going to read the promos here. But I want you to describe yourself in one word in just a second. And sometimes that's hard to do. Remember, Jason will be at the Marion Christian Center, 1550 Richland Road here in Marion. That is Friday night, 9:30 after the football games. Then he will be at the Genesis Church on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. 921 Woodrow Avenue. And I do want to let people know again that Jason is a vocal artist who has performed on NBC, the CW, CBN, the 700 Club. And again, doctors said he would never speak or sing again after a bout with cancer, losing 80% of his tongue to it, stage 4 cancer. 2 years later, he wrote and sang These Walls, 6 million views later. These Walls became a viral hit, translated into over 25 languages and sung in churches all around the world. And this weekend, Marion is the place for that. Jason David, described in one word by himself.
I am untitled.
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 Is where it is. Jason David, catch him this week. Jason, it's been a fantastic morning. I'm so glad you were able to come in.
Thank you.
And I've enjoyed this conversation immensely.
Me too. Thank you so much.
And I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people who were out there listening this morning. As I said, one of our first messages we got this morning was they needed to hear this morning.
That's awesome.
So there we go. A purpose
you.
For everything. Voice of a People with Linda Sims coming up next. Jason David, a true survivor. Adam the Computer Guy at noon. And I'll be back tomorrow for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's the you bring